Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shagimu Perik Zayin. So we still speak about this principle that he taught us about looking at the world from Hashem's point of view, or looking at the world from our point of view. That's what he says here. Ve'elu shtei habechinos hanal. These two concepts which we mentioned before, shemitzido yizborach umitzideinu, right, from Hashem's point of view, where Hashem sees that he's absolutely equal and he fills all of the worlds from one end to the other, and there's no place that doesn't have Hashem's presence there in full. So that's his aspect. Umitzideinu, it's our side of things where Hashem is totally hidden, and we understand that somewhere in the high heavens there Hashem is to be found somewhat, but here in this lower world almost Hashem is almost absent, or maybe he's only very, very small degree he's here. So that's from our aspect, that we don't see Hashem, we don't feel Hashem. So these two concepts, hein atzmam in yan hatzimtzum v'hakav. So these two concepts are the concept of tzimtzum. This is what the Holy Sforim speak about. Arizal speaks about tzimtzum, which we normally translate the word as tzimtzum to mean constriction. But we're going to see, he's going to explain that tzimtzum actually means hiddenness, that which is hidden. We'll see that a bit later. But that's one of the major concepts that the Arizal brings in his writings, in his teachings. And the second concept is the concept of the kav. The kav literally means the line. The line, like you extend a line to connect, a telephone line, to connect one building to another building. Extend an electrical line. So therefore there's a line. Those are the two concepts. And the way they explain it is as follows. That in the simplest sense, that Hashem, when he wants to create the world, Hashem is all light. Hashem is all goodness. Hashem is all energy. Hashem is all everything. Hashem is all happiness and joy and goodness. So in order to create the world, he had to, so to speak, create a hollow within himself. He had to somehow make this big hollow place within himself, which is totally absent of his light. So it's a totally dark place within himself, this huge hollow. And that is the beginning of our universe. And then into that blackness and that hollow, he shone a very, very thin, pencil-thin ray of light. So that hollowness is what people often say, so that's what he calls the tzimtzum, which, so to speak, Hashem pulled himself away from this hollowness. Hashem fills everything, but so to speak, he withdrew from a certain area within himself, and he created this big hollow vacuum, the space. What we call space, this big hollow space, which is obviously doesn't have any light, it doesn't have any, it's just totally dark, it's just totally empty. So he pulled back from the space, and it was just total blackness. That's step one. And that would be called tzimtzum. And step two is then he shone into that, so it shouldn't be just only blackness, he shone into that blackness, he shone a very, very thin ray of light. And that was the only light he allowed into the blackness. And that ray of light went through, penetrated through the whole hollow, almost to the other end. Almost to the other end. It stopped just before the other end. It didn't go right through. And that's basically what he describes there in the Oitzus Chaim. So let's see. So those two concepts he wants to say. These two concepts of Tzimtzum and Kav. So he wants to say these are the very same concepts that we were speaking about up to now. The world from Hashem's point of view and the world from our point of view. Let's see. Hein hein atzman inyan atzimtzum v'kav. These are the concepts of the Tzimtzum, which means the constriction or the hiddenness, as we're going to see, the kav and the line, or the chain. Let's use the word chain. You think of a chain, so a chain is one link to another link to another link, and then it hangs down, this chain. And each link is linked to the one before it, and each link is interlinked with the one before it, and that creates the chain, and then the chain hangs down. So that's called the kav, hanizka b'divei Arizal, which is mentioned in the words of the Arizal, v'ashemuvua sham. And according to what it's explained there, Shemitzada Tzimtzum, in terms of the Tzimtzum, which means the hiddenness, the constriction, no yitzdak bo shum shinui v'chiluk mokum. So there, it's not justified to say that there's any changes or change of place. There aren't different places. In this world, there are different places. There are different places. There's South Africa, there's Israel, there's Australia, there's America, whatever it is, there are different places. Hashem, it's all just Hashem. So in terms of the Tzimtzum, that's Hashem's oneness which fills the whole of reality. In other words, that's the concept of from His point of view. From His point of view, we said, is that He fills all reality equally. So therefore, they aren't different places. It's all one place. Hashem is one place, so to speak. Mailu mata ponim v'ocho. There is no up and down. There's no higher and lower. There's no up and down. There's no inside and outside. There's no front and back. There's no front or back to this place, because it's all just this oneness. It doesn't have a front, it doesn't have a back, it doesn't have a top, it doesn't have a bottom. Right? Rak hashivo gmura amitis, right? Just a true equality of presence, absolutely equal, that there's no areas, there's no front or back, there's no other areas, it's all one area. Because in yone hashinuim v'chiluke hamakoimus, and the whole concept of changes, or different changes, change of climate, change of scenery, change of size, right? You go to a shoe store and you say, no, those shoes are too small for me, give me the bigger size. You say, no, those are too big for me, give me the smaller size. The fact that there are different types of things, the fact that there's a whole variety of things in the world, the chiluk mekoyim is all sorts of different places, the kol hashem is kinuim, all sorts of different names, right? This is called a table, that's called a chair. A table is a table, a chair is a chair. They're two different things. So the fact that they're different things with different names, right? An ice cream is not a pawpaw, and a pawpaw is not an ice cream. So the fact that they're different things with all different names, hulam ne'emarim rak mitzada b'chinas hakav. That's only in terms of the kav, which is the line, which is our perspective from our point of view. From our point of view, we live in a varied world with all sorts of different, with millions and millions of different types of things in this world. So that he's linking to the concept of Tzimtzum and Kav, as he's going to explain in a minute. So look in the beginning of Oitzus Chaim. Umudas shekol divrei Arizal benistoris, and it's known that all of the teachings of Arizal, when he speaks of upper worlds and lower worlds and all sorts of, and he speaks about all sorts of things there, we should know that whatever he says is moshelheim, is just all an analogy. It's not to be taken literally. Right? In other words, he uses concepts that we're familiar with in order to explain concepts to us. You know, sometimes you're trying to explain a concept to someone, he doesn't understand, so you use a moshel, use an analogy. Right? You say to him, imagine there were two people, and this one said this, and this one said that. So through the analogy, you understand the idea. So therefore, all of the writings of Arizal, throughout his works, is all one moshel. It's not literal. It's not a literal description of the world. It's just an analogy for us to understand the different types of energies and different types of forces and different types of influences that we have in the world. Upnimius inyan ha-tzimtzum ra-kav, the inner understanding, the inner meaning, the deeper meaning of the concept of tzimtzum and kav, the kavona, and the intention behind al-elu shtei b'chinas hanal, the intention behind the two concepts that we've mentioned before, which is from our point of view, from Hashem's point of view, shen be'etzim b'chinachas, really they are totally parallel to each other. Now, what the Arizal speaks of being about being Tzimtzum and Kav, and what we spoke about in the book Nefesh HaChaim up to now about from our point of view, from Hashem's point of view, these are really all the same thing. It's just different ways of saying out the same idea. They're the same concept, just in different descriptions, different ways of describing it, or different analogies are being used to show the same two concepts. Now, kibeu milas tzimtzum, because the explanation of the word tzimtzum kan, as it's used here in Arizal's writing, ain loshen siluk v'hetek. It's not a language of removal, because that's how we understand. Most people, you ask them what's tzimtzum, they'll say it means constriction. That's tzimtzum means to be exacting. I want tzimtzum. I want you to give me 1 kilo of sugar, but tzimtzum, exactly. So that's what most people will tell you. However, here it doesn't mean that. It's not a loshen, it's not a language of siluk, of removing, you know, this and not that. You know, you sort of, the hetek, mi mokum la mokum, that you're uprooting one thing away from the other. You're taking an exact amount away from the rest of it. And you're being very, very exacting. That's not the idea. Liskanes lischave atzmoy latzmoy kaviyochel. In others, well, it's not a type of, that it's sort of withdrawing into itself, sort of shrinking into itself. Right, which is also what we understand by the word constriction, that something sort of shrinks into itself, it sort of becomes absorbed into itself. That's not what it means. And that's basically what people do mistakenly think, that when Hashem made this hollow within himself, so he pulled himself back, you know, like a guy who pulls in his stomach, right? So he pulls in his stomach. So therefore he's made a space there where before his stomach was sticking out, now his stomach is pulled in. Right? Looks hollow there. So therefore, so to speak, Hashem constricted himself, he pulled himself back. That's not the intention. Right? To sort of pull himself into himself, to create an empty space, chas v'shalom. Why do you say chas v'shalom? Because there can be no place that's empty of Hashem. In truth, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a pure hollow where Hashem doesn't exist, because it's not possible for Hashem not to exist anywhere. Hashem cannot be nowhere. Hashem cannot be nowhere. Just like we say, Hashem cannot be weak. Hashem cannot be weak. We say Hashem, hinei lo yanum lo yishan, Hashem never goes to sleep. Because Hashem can't be weak. He can't sleep, because he can't be weak. He can't catch a cold. He can't have a cough, because he can't be weak. So Hashem cannot be absent from any place. So this hollow is not the absence of Hashem, because Hashem cannot be absent. So that's why he says chas v'shalom. We should think that Hashem sort of constricted himself, and there's a place where he doesn't exist. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a place where Hashem doesn't exist. Rather, the idea is like it says in the Midrash, Bereishis Rabba, v'tzimtzum upaneho. It speaks about a certain incident where this woman hid her face, and the king didn't see her. Whatever the context is over there, so there, it doesn't mean she pulled in her face, or she constricted her face, she hid her face. Right? The woman hid her face, and the king didn't see her. So that's what it means, tzimtzum, hidden. And that's really what this hollow is. This hollow is that there's a place in the world that Hashem is totally hidden. This blackness that he created within himself, this hollow, this space, which is all dark, it's dark not because Hashem is not there, it's dark because Hashem there is hidden. So to speak, he painted his face black. Right? So therefore he's disappeared, because you can't see him. But he's there, obviously he's there. That black space is also full of Hashem. It's just we don't see Hashem in that black space. So that's what it means by tzimtzum. It's a hiding. Hashem has hidden himself, and therefore it appears that he's not there. But he's 100% there. Just we can't see him at all. Kenkan milas tzimtzum hainu hester. So that's the idea here. Tzimtzum here means hiddenness. That's what we say when we say tzimtzum. Hashem has been mitzamtzem himself. It means that he's hidden himself. And therefore it appears that he's not here when he's here in full. And the intention is that the oneness of Hashem, blessed be his name, in terms of himself, of his self, Hashem's self, which fills all worlds, totally equally, Hashem in terms of himself, that he fills all of reality absolutely equally, we call this presence, even though this presence fills all of reality, we call it a tzimtzum in a hiddenness. Because his oneness, which fills all worlds, is hidden from us. We can't grasp it. We can't see Hashem. As we see a big empty room here, we don't see Hashem filling this room, because he's totally hidden. So we call it that Hashem is hidden. And that's what we call tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is Hashem is here. Hashem fills every single square centimeter of this room. All the airspace in this room, every drop of airspace is full of Hashem. But we don't see it, and that's what we call tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is totally, totally hidden, totally absent. So it's not absent; it's totally, it seems to be absent. K'inyan achen ato keil mistati, which is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, like this pasuk that says, "You are the God who hides. You are the God who hides, the God that no one sees." Masagaseinu masha anachnu mesigim metzias yishtalshelus oylomus. Now, what we do grasp, and that we understand, that there is a chain of worlds. There's an upper world, which is linked to a world below it, which is linked to the world still below that world, and world after world. Because remember, we once said how each higher world is like the neshama of the world below it. So each world interacts with the world below it, and there's a chain of worlds, of hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of spiritual worlds. So the concept we grasp it intellectually by reading these writings. The concept of that there's a whole chain of worlds, right, like this chain, the links of a chain, it's a chain of worlds. What we do grasp that there's a chain of worlds, one above the other, the b'china is training, one being greater than the other, higher world is more than the lower world. That's what we call the line. The kav means the line. So the line is how we perceive reality to be a chain of worlds, higher worlds and lower worlds and lower worlds and lower worlds, until you get to the very bottom, you come to our physical world. So we call that a line because it's a line of worlds, just like that chain, which one link into another link into another link, and there can be thousands of links in a chain. So to, that's how we see higher worlds and upper worlds just being links in that chain. That's just like a chain. And this is what the Arizal writes, that in terms of the hiddenness, the tzimtzum, which is the hiddenness, which is to say in terms of Hashem's oneness, Hashem's oneness through the world, Hashem's oneness that fills all, that even if in terms of us, in terms of our perspective, it's something that's totally hidden. The fact that Hashem is all one and that He fills all reality is something that's totally hidden from us. However, from His point of view, there is no upper and lower. We spoke about higher worlds and lower worlds. In terms of Hashem, there is no higher and lower, because Hashem is equal everywhere. So it's only from our point of view. From our point of view, there are different worlds. There's a higher world and there's lower worlds. There's the heavens above, there's the earth below, higher and lower. That's only from our point of view. Right, Rakmi Tzadakav, it's only from our point of view, this concept of the line that comes down, the chain that comes down, Hanimi Tzadasagasen, which is from our point of view. Shanachn Mitzidein Mesiim Seidur Glomis, because we, from our point of view, we see there an order of worlds. There's an order of worlds. This world feeds that world, and this world feeds that world. And there's an order of worlds, Derech Hishtalshelus Kav, which come down, as we said, like a chain. So therefore, Yitzhak Mitzidein Umalim Matas. So therefore, from our point of view, we can say higher and lower. From Hashem's point of view, there's no higher and lower. From our point of view, there's a higher and a lower. The Afgamzois, now this he adds in brackets. Afgamzois, and even this idea, we said from our point of view, there is a higher and lower. But even this, Shemitzada Tzimtzum, Hain Afshu Yishu is Bor Shmo Yitzimtzim Yisya Sagaseinu or Atzmus Achdusa Mumaleko. Right? And this too, the fact that what we said, that in terms of the hiddenness, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid Himself, and He hid His essence, and His oneness, which fills all of reality, in Kolze, even though it's all hidden, the concept that in Hashem's point of view, there is no high and lower. That whole concept, which is totally hidden from us, in Kolze, lo yitzdak boi malum mato, af mitzad hasagasein. In truth, when we think about that concept, when we think of this concept of Hashem filling all, we also can't think of there being a high and a lower. We also have to understand, and from Hashem's point of view, even though we can't really see things from Hashem's point of view, but so to speak, theoretically, we understand that there's His point of view, so we understand that there's no such thing as high or lower. If we can grasp the concept that there's absolute equality through all places. Kinyan igul hamakif. Just like if you've got a circle around you, right, if you have a circle, let's say a person living inside a ball. If we were living inside a ball, let's say the whole universe was this huge ball and we're inside the ball. So therefore a ball, what's a ball? A ball is something that rolls. So there's no top of the ball, there's no bottom of the ball. A ball doesn't have a top and a bottom. It doesn't have a left side and a right side. So in that sense, if we understand that Hashem, so to speak, surrounds us from all sides, and He's the one who basically feeds us from all sides. Soyvev, I call the concept we mentioned before, a while back, that Hashem surrounds our reality, so to speak, orbits around us, like a satellite that goes around the world. Hashem, so to speak, surrounds us, so therefore we're living in this big ball, we're living in the hollow of a ball, so therefore really, strictly speaking, we should also grasp that there's no upper or lower. Ach mitzad hakav, however, when we start speaking about the line, the chain, right, the chain of worlds, Hainushem Me'achash Gozer Tzonisbach, which is the decree of Hashem, Shegam Achat Simtzum Ahester, that Hashem has decreed it should be. He's decreed that our perception should be, Ein Ahester Shavel Asagasein B'chol Mekuyim Shavel, that when we look at the world and we sort of looking for Hashem in the world, we don't see Him equally in all places. Every place we look, we see something slightly different, and we can't see Him equally in all places. And we grasp different ideas by looking at different places. You look in one area, you understand a certain concept. You look somewhere else, you understand something different. You see things and you understand. You understand how things work, or you understand what's happening. So we're always seeing something different. der Hishtalshelus kein Kavur, and therefore, if we're looking at the heavens, the concept of the heavens, so we do see this chain of this, so to speak, this ray of light that comes down. We're looking not with our physical eyes, we're looking with the eye of our mind to try and grasp this concept. And we have this concept of a light, a ray of light that comes from the highest of heavens and it shines down on us. Then we understand that each world which is higher, so to speak, there Hashem is more revealed. And wherever is lower, Hashem is less revealed. It goes as follows. Let's imagine we've got this ray of light coming down. And it's a very powerful ray of light. And it goes through a screen. And the screen blocks some of the light. So therefore, above the screen, it's a very bright light. Through the screen, it becomes dimmer because the screen takes it out. The screen cuts some of the light. So therefore, we understand at the highest point is the brightest light. After the screen, there's a less bright light. And then there's another screen. And that lessens the light even more. And then there's another screen, and that lessens the light even more. And as we go down, so the light becomes lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser. And that light is the revelation of Hashem. Hashem is less revealed. When you get to this world where Hashem is almost totally hidden, there is some light in this world, but we don't see Hashem. That light doesn't help us. When the sun shines, it doesn't help us to see Hashem. And it's a blue sky and it's a nice day, that doesn't help us to see Hashem. Hashem is hidden in this world. So therefore we understand that there are higher worlds where Hashem is more revealed, and there are lower worlds Hashem is less revealed. And that is this chain where you've got, you know, the higher part is more holy and the lower part is less holy. So this is what we have to work with. We have to work with the concept of that there's higher places and then lower places. There's places where Hashem is more revealed. Right? The world to come, we understand Hashem is more revealed. In this world, Hashem is more hidden. And then we understand the angels see Hashem, we don't see Hashem. They seem to a degree, they don't see Him fully. Like we mentioned last week, that the angels also don't really know Hashem's place. They also ask, Ayei Makom Kvoida, where is His holy place? They also don't really see Hashem fully, but they see more than we see. Just like we understand that people with tremendous intelligence, they see things we don't see. They see, they understand concepts that we don't understand. So therefore, there are places, there are higher places where there's more to be seen, and there are lower places that there's less to be seen. Now that's the concept of Kav, which is the Kav, the line, the chain is our reality. We have to work with that reality, the reality of high and low. And that's the concept of Kav, of the line, of the chain. V'gam ha-sagasenu is galus oiris boch v'zeh ha-oilam hu gam ken b'chinas madregas shoinim ha-makoyim z'chilukin. Also in terms of what we do grasp of the revelation of Hashem's light in this world also gives us all sorts of different places and all sorts of different levels. K'mo she'amanu chazal esa kedushas. Like our chazal say, it's a Mishnah in Kelim, that there are 10 levels of Kedusha. Now, I brought the Mishnah here. It's a Mishnah in Kelim. It's a beautiful Mishnah. It's worthwhile seeing if you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it, it's worthwhile reviewing it again. Because it's just so beautiful. So it says as follows. Esa, it says as follows. The Mishnah in Kelim, Perik Aleph, chapter 1, Mishnah 6. It says the Esa Kedusha saying, there are 10 levels of Kedusha. Now, this is talking about in this physical world, there are levels of Kedusha. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Atzis. The first one is that Eretz Yisrael is more holy than all the other lands. And there are differences in halacha based on that. Right? So for instance, the Gemara says, well, what makes Eretz Yisrael more Kodesh in other lands? Because when we have to do the mitzvah of bringing Oimer, right, we bring the barley offering on Pesach, it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. Or when we bring first fruits, Bikurim, on Shavuos, it has to be fruit that grew in Eretz Yisrael. As the mitzvah is only from Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah is not from outside Eretz Yisrael. If you've got beautiful fruit from outside Eretz Yisrael, you can't bring it as a bikurim. So there we see Eretz Yisrael is more Kaddish in terms of the Torah in other lands. That's the first level of Kedusha. The rest of the world is Eretz Yisrael, there's the rest of the world. That's one. Number two, Iris Mekophis. If you've got walled cities in Eretz Yisrael are more holy than the rest of Eretz Yisrael.
Are we going in ascending order?
In ascending order. Right. We're going in ascending order from lower to higher. So walled cities in Eretz Yisrael are more holy than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Why so? Because if you've got a metzora, someone who has tsaras, type of leprosy, and he's in a walled city, he has to be sent out of the city. but he doesn't have to be sent outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we see a walled city requires a higher level of holiness, because a tzara, someone with a metzora, with tzaras, cannot stay inside a walled city, but he can live outside the walled city. So therefore we see a walled city is higher, is more holy than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's level number two. Level number three is within the walls of Yerushalayim. Within the walls of Yerushalayim is still more holy than within walls of other cities. So that's the walls of Yerushalayim. How is that more holy? Because there you can eat sacrificial meat. Kachim Kalim. You can eat sacrificial meat throughout the walls, throughout Yerushalayim, within the walls, which you're not allowed to do outside the walls of Yerushalayim or in any other walled city. Only in Yerushalayim can we eat sacrificial meat, what's called Kachim Kalim. And Maaseh Sheni, we can eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. Maaseh Sheni is the fruits we take up to Yerushalayim. We can only eat them in Yerushalayim. We can't eat them outside Yerushalayim. So that's the third level. That's within the walls of Yerushalayim. Then the fourth level, higher level still, is Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is still more holy than the rest of Yerushalayim. And so on, he goes on. There's the Temple Mount, and then there's the Chel, which is a certain area around the temple, which is called the apron. The Chel is the apron. And then there's this Noshim, which is still more holy. And then there's Ezra Yisrael. There's, of course, known as the courtyard of Yisrael, where men are allowed to enter. I'm not going through the Mishnah in detail, but basically, then there's Ezra's Kohanim. There's holier and holier and holier places until you come to the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Holy of Holies. And that's the highest level. So we see, even in this world, there is a perception of a holier place. Now, most people won't see any. So, you know, what's the difference between Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael? I don't see a difference. Here the sun shines, there the sun shines. Here there's water in the taps, here there's water in the taps. Here you can buy a pizza, here you can buy pizza. What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the world? But we see that the Torah recognizes there's a difference. So even in this world, there's a concept of high and lower levels. And also he brings here as another example, the Gimel Machanos Mekudoshes, the three holy camps. And the Jewish people, when they were in the desert, so the camp there was also divided into three. So you had like, it was in like a circle. So you had the inner circle, which was the Machane Shechina, that was where the Mishkan stood, the tabernacle stood, was in the middle of the Jewish people. Camped around the Mishkan were all the different families of the Levites, Levim, that was called Machane Leviah, at the camp of Levi. That was a second level. And then around that, a third circle was the Machane Yisrael, was the rest of the tribe. The 12 tribes were all around the Machane Levi. So therefore, that's like three concentric circles. Right? Different levels. The inner level was higher. The second level was lower. The third level was even still lower. But that's, again, something that was in effect according to Torah law. And it was something that they could sort of feel. They could sense it. And the law is also there. For instance, a person who is Tomei Meis, he has contact with a corpse, a dead corpse, he's not allowed in the Machane Shechin, he's not allowed in the tabernacle, but he is allowed in the Machane Levia. Right? A person who was a Metzoira, sorry, I'm making a mistake, the person who was a Zav, it's also a type of tumor, he's not allowed in Machane Levia, but he is allowed in Machane Yisrael. And a Metzoira is not allowed even in Machane Yisrael. He's not allowed in all of the three camps. He has to be outside the camp. So then we had laws that pertain to these three different levels. So even in this world, we spoke of holier places and less holy places. And we have to work with that. That's the concept of the Kav, that there is that which is higher and that which is lower. That's in terms of our reality. Zulamali Mizub, the Erech Kedushosim, one higher than the other in terms of its holiness. And then in terms of this line, there's more revelation of Hashem's light. As we said, the higher you go, the more light, the lower, the less light. And that's what justifies this concept of being high and lower. High is more revelation, lower is less revelation. At all of these different places and different concepts of Pratim, all of the details of the different places, which is all explained by the reason. And also when the verses speak of Hashem, they speak of Hashem as being Kel Elyon, the God on high. So to speak, Hashem is up there, but he's not down here, because that's a holier place. Hashem is more there, he's less here. So therefore he's called Kel Elyon. And Lokeinu Shebashamayim, our Lord that's in heaven, he's up there and he's not down here. Yoshev B'Shamayim, the one who dwells in the heavens. Again, same idea, he's up there, he's not down here. We have many verses like that, Shemitzat HaSagasein, in terms of our grasp. Yitzdak loy meshe b'mokom zeh nika yoyse gam That in terms of our grasp of Hashem's godliness, we say that in this place it's more recognizable, that's a place where Hashem dwells, than this other place where it's less recognizable that Hashem dwells there. This concept of the revealing of Hashem's light is in terms of what is hidden from our grasp. Right? Which is Yaakov Avinu says when he came to he spent the night. Right? Remember the story how he came to Harabais after he fled. After he fled from Esav, wanted to kill him, and he fled, and then he spent 14 years in the Hashem Ba'eva, and then he went to Haran. On the way to Haran, he stopped by a Temple Mount, and he spent the night, and that's where he saw his wonderful vision of the ladder that went up to the heavens. So there the Pasuk says, when he got there, it says there, Yaakov Avinu said, Ein zekiim beis Elokim. He said, this is the house of God. Right? When he spent at the Temple Mount, he had such a vision there. He was felt so inspired there, he was so lifted there, it was such a holy place. He had this tremendous vision. So he said, this place is the house of Hashem. In other words, this place more than other places. The Temple Mount is more than other places. So this is again in terms of our point of view. In other words, in this place there was a grasp. He was able to grasp Adam, even though he was just a human, he was just a mortal, he was just the flesh and blood, he was able to grasp holiness, he was able to grasp Hashem's presence. He felt that Hashem is here. It's not something he could see, but he felt Hashem is here. Where it was just sort of a revelation of Hashem, but was specific to that place. So that's how we say that there's different concepts, there's high and low, even in terms of our world. Now, the idea that the Arizal speaks about the hollow space, right? What we said was the original creation was Hashem made this huge hollow space. It's not really hollow. It's just a dark place. We don't see Hashem. Hashem is hidden in this place. So this concept of the chalal, of this great hollow that HaKadosh Baruch created when he first created the world, this empty place, which appears to be empty, that the whole idea of his hiding, the fact that he hid, was only in order to reveal the different kalim. Kalim is what we call vessels. Kalim are vessels or containers. In other words, as follows, if we used this analogy before, if you've got a picture of a furnace, so all you see is this huge furnace, you see all these flames. But if you now take a black marker and you blacken out part of the picture, so then you see individual things, right? Where the darkness is allows for where the light is, right? Because of the dark, you see the light. So this area is darkened, so this area is light. Okay, well, if you've got a stage with spotlights and you turn some of the lights off, so the lights will light up part of the stage and other part of the stage will be totally in darkness. So that creates areas, it creates places that you can see and places you can't see. So that's the concept of that. The whole darkness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was for the ability to create a reality of different things, different beings and different containers, different vessels, different worlds. Right? Because it's all dark and shadow. And that's the truth of photography. If you have, let's say, black and white photography, so it's the whole picture is just made of dark and shadow. Dark and shadow makes the picture. The whole picture is just here it's dark and here it's light, and there's a picture that comes from that darkness and that shadow, and the darkness and the light together. I know. So that's the concept. He created this darkness in order to create the reality which we call our world, right? And that's for all of the different elements of our world to come into existence. Which is that Hashem decreed in terms of his own hidden agenda, Hashem's own hidden reasons, to hide the light of his oneness, of his unity, in this place. He created a place where he's hidden. That's our world. Our world of Hashem is totally hidden. To a degree, it's a hiddenness enough that they should come into reality our world. Our world being that little bit of light that's allowed, and the shadows that are created with our light that create the reality of our world. Just like that black and white photo, that it's a mix of light and dark makes the picture. So that's what Hashem took out all of his light, and then he let in a little bit of light to create our reality. And that's how there's tables, that's how there's chairs, that's how there's rooms, that's how there's countries, that's how there's different places, different worlds. It's all different. It's just different elements of a mixture of Hashem's light, a little bit of light being let into the great darkness that he created from our point of view. right? Hester Atzum, a tremendous darkness, a tremendous, tremendous darkness, being blackened out so much of his light. L'hamtzi al yedei zeh inyan nifla kazeh, in order to create this wondrous matter, which is what we call our reality. Shisraev yusag metzius ha'ilomus v'kechus, so that thereby we can grasp different worlds and different forces, ein mistar, without number. They're forces without number, they're worlds without number. They're spiritual worlds of mamish without number, they're uncountable, there's so many of them. So that there could be all of this variety, all of these different elements in the world, der hadrogov ishtalshlus, in a way of different levels, in a way of the chain, right? That the high worlds, where there's more revelation, low worlds, right? That this very, very long chain with these thousands and millions of links, which are all represented by different realities, different worlds, different forces, etc. Ibrahim is galus oira, to show in some places his light is more revealed, or dak, is right, where he reveals a thin element of his light, a thin ray of his light. The shiur v'diktuk atzum, some very, very precise. V'dech masachim ein ketz, and through all different filters, the lights go through all different filters, so you have different strengths of light, and the different strengths of light are all these different realities. To such a degree that there's so many different varieties of darkness that you can even have places that are unclean. You can have even places that are contaminated. You know, like the lowest places in earth where the lowest type of people live, and they live the most lowest type of lifestyle, that also can exist, because there's just so much darkness there. There's so little light there that you have the most wicked people living in the most wicked places, and that's the totally contaminated places, and even that is created through this mix of Hashem's darkness and lightness. Akoichas atuma, that's the impure powers of impurity. Varan, evil, the klipos, all sorts of different shells. The shofel amadregas atachtonis, which is at the lowest of places.